1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 17 to chapter 3 verse 13. But, brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labours might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you, and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you're standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Loving Father, we do long to hear your voice address us now as we study your word together. So please take your truth and plant it deep in us, as we've just sung. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we're out of contact with someone for a long time, we might start to wonder whether they really care about us or not. Now, particularly if we're going through a hard time. Perhaps we find ourselves waiting for a phone call that doesn't come, or a letter that never arrives from someone we thought cared about us. If it's a family member, we might ask ourselves why they haven't been in touch and whether they're bothered about the struggles we're going through. If it's a friend, perhaps we might fear that they've moved on and dropped us. Well, those are the kind of questions that might well have been running through the minds of the Christians in Thessalonica concerning Paul. He had come to Thessalonica proclaiming God's love and a message of salvation. But then when troubles had come, his departure had been very sudden and they hadn't heard from him since. Why was that? Didn't he care about the hostility they were facing for their newfound faith in Jesus? Had he simply moved on to his next missionary project and dropped them? Well, if that is what they were thinking, we can understand their concerns. But Paul writes this letter to assure them that this couldn't be further from the case. He loves them dearly. He misses them. And he's deeply concerned about them. In our passage this morning, we see what love looks like between Christians. And firstly, we see Paul's anguish over his brothers and sisters. Our first heading, Paul's anguish over his brothers and sisters. Please look down with me at chapter 2, verse 17. Paul writes this. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. As far as Paul's concerned, his departure from Thessalonica had not been a welcome one or a willing one. In Acts 17, we can read how some of the Jews from the local synagogue had instigated a riot and chased Paul out of town. And Paul says that he had been torn away from the Thessalonians. And he loved his new converts in Thessalonica so dearly that his hands had to be prized open, so to speak, to force him to let go of them. It felt to him like bereavement. He says it was like being orphaned, having that deep sense of loss when children are separated from their parents. And it wasn't a case of out of sight, out of mind. Although Paul was no longer present with the Thessalonians, they were very much in his thoughts. Like a lovesick teenager longing to see his girlfriend, he longed to see them and made every effort to do so. In fact, he says he tried to return again and again, but he found that his plans were constantly thwarted. And he doesn't tell us how, but he describes it as the work of Satan. Paul's aware that the Christian life is part of a bigger picture. There's a spiritual battle going on. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul mentions Satan with respect to every problem that comes along, but he recognizes that Christians are in a spiritual battle. Now, every day, Satan is at work to oppose the spread of the gospel and to stop Christians from following Jesus. He wants nothing more than to cause Christians to give up on Christ. And he's most powerful when we're unaware of him. In 1977, the Christian songwriter Keith Green wrote a song called No One Believes in Me Anymore, in which the devil is boasting. And he says this: I'm gaining power by the hour. They're falling by the score. You know it's getting very simple now, because no one believes in me anymore. I used to have to sneak around, but now they just open the doors. You know, no one's watching for my tricks, because no one believes in me anymore. Well, the Bible warns us of the reality of Satan's opposition over and over again, so that we might not be undone by his tricks and turned aside from Christ. And Paul wants the Thessalonians to understand his absence in that context. It's not because he's forgotten them. It's a result of the spiritual battle they're in. And his longing to see them now is part of an even greater longing to be with them in glory when Christ returns. Verse 19 again: for what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. It's a wonderful thought to know that we will one day stand in glory with those we have walked with and encouraged in the Christian life. And that thought should cause us to love each other deeply and to spur one another on until that day comes. Now, whatever frustrations or tensions may arise between us from time to time, they are nothing compared to the joy we will know when we stand together with Christ in glory. It's that thought that fueled Paul's desire to see the Thessalonians again and be present with them. And his words had been backed up by his actions. Look down at chapter 3, verse 1. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labours might have been in vain. In chapter 2, Paul said that he had loved the Thessalonians like a nursing mother when he had been with them. And it's clear that he continues to love them now in just the same selfless and sacrificial way. To be without Timothy, his loved and valuable co-worker, would have been costly. It would have added hugely to the strain and workload that he and Silas already faced. Yet such was his love for the Christians in Thessalonica that he sent Timothy anyway. And when he arrived, Timothy had continued Paul's ministry in his absence. As a father deals with his own children, Paul had sought to encourage these young Christians and urge them on. And he had sent Timothy to continue that work by strengthening them and encouraging them in their faith. His purpose was that they wouldn't be unsettled by the persecutions that both he and the Thessalonians were facing and turned aside from Christ. And that's why he sent Timothy, his highly valued co-worker. In other words, the means Paul uses to encourage the Thessalonians as they face hostility and opposition is to send them a Bible teacher. What we all need when we go through hard times is to be reminded of God's word. Whatever difficulties we're going through, the biggest battle we're facing is a spiritual battle. Now, of course, when we go through trials, we need to be loved and supported in practical ways. But what we need most is the spiritual encouragement that comes from Scripture. Paul had sent Timothy to the Thessalonians to strengthen their faith. And Timothy had a second role. He was to get news. Well, Paul had warned the Thessalonians that persecutions were coming. He had told them that somehow these persecutions would be woven into God's eternal purpose and turn out for good. But he was concerned whether they were sufficiently strong in faith to cope with the assault they were facing. Now, had his ministry been in vain? Had they been tempted by Satan to abandon Christ? So when Paul could stand it no longer, he had sent Timothy to get news. When we walk out of church, or these days when we click end meeting on Zoom, we won't just forget about each other until next week. Not if we love like Paul loved anyway. If we love like Paul loved, then we'll have an ongoing concern for each other's well-being, particularly each other's spiritual well-being. If we notice that someone's absent from church, that will matter to us. If we know that someone's going through a hard time, that will matter to us. We'll remember that we're all involved in a spiritual battle. We'll do what we can to love and encourage each other by pointing each other to God's word. And we'll care about how we're each getting on. That's what Paul had done. And when Timothy returned with news, he was overjoyed because it was good news. So secondly, Paul writes of his joy because of his brothers and sisters. Our second heading, Paul's joy because of his brothers and sisters. Please look down again at chapter 3, verses 6 to 10. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. It was good news. Their faith was holding. Yes, they were young Christians. Yes, he would still need to supply what was lacking in their faith. But for now, Paul is simply overjoyed that they were standing firm in the Lord. And not only were they standing firm, they were longing to see Paul just as he was longing to see them. It was the news Paul was hoping for. Though he and his companions were facing distress and persecution themselves, they were encouraged, thankful, and full of joy. They could breathe a sigh of relief and get on with life with renewed zest. Perhaps you've had the experience of waiting for news of someone you love who's going through major surgery. Time seems to slow down as they're taken into theatre. You're constantly on edge, waiting to hear how they're getting on. And then finally, news comes. They're out and recovering and all has gone well. And the relief you feel is huge. We can picture Paul on his knees, full of joy and giving thanks to God. To know that we're each going on strong with the Lord should fill us with joy. Now, that's one reason that coming to church each Sunday should be a joyful occasion, because we see each other once again and are assured that we are each going on well with the Lord. Now, we can't take that for granted. Following Jesus isn't always easy. And we've already been reminded that there's a spiritual battle going on. Every day we face temptations that can lead us away from Christ. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you can probably think of people you know who seem to be close to the Lord, only to turn away because of pressures and temptations of one kind or another. What a great joy and encouragement it is then to see one another on a Sunday and to know that we're each standing firm in the Lord. We encourage and are encouraged by one another as we gather together. It's one of the reasons we miss each other when we're absent from church on a Sunday morning. And it's one of the reasons we've missed meeting together so much over the last few months. The Christian life is one of mutual encouragement as we each give and receive the encouragement we need to press on with Christ. And Paul's natural response is to turn to God in prayer, our final heading. Paul's prayer for his brothers and sisters. Paul's prayer for his brothers and sisters. Right at the beginning of the letter, Paul said that when he prays, he thanks God for the faith, love, and hope of the Thessalonians. It's the golden trio that runs all the way through the letter. And all three of those themes are evident here. First, He prays that God would open the way for him to come to the Thessalonians to supply what is lacking in their faith. Please look down again at verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. And we know why Paul prays for that, because he's just told us in the preceding verse, verse 10. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. My wife, Rachel, sometimes discovers that there's something lacking in her cooking. By which I mean that she might be cooking a beautiful bolognese sauce only to find that there's no spaghetti in the cupboard. And she might be pleased with the sauce. It's turned out just as she wanted. Delicious, of course. But without spaghetti, the meal is incomplete. You can't have spaghetti bolognese without spaghetti. There's something lacking. Well, it's easily fixed. I get sent out to the local shop to supply what's missing. Well, that's what Paul means here. He's overjoyed that the Thessalonians are going on well with Christ. Yet he's aware that their faith is incomplete. There's something lacking. As we read on in his letter, it's clear that these gaps are not in their understanding of the gospel. Rather, it's in the application of their faith to every area of their lives. In particular, in the area of sexual relationships, some members of the church, at least, were showing little evidence that their faith in Christ had made any impact at all. So Paul prays that God would clear the way so that he can come to supply what's lacking. We don't know for sure whether God did clear the way for Paul to visit Thessalonica again, but the book of Acts suggests that he may well have done during a later missionary journey. In chapter 20 of Acts, we're told that Paul passed through Macedonia, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece. And it seems highly likely that that provided the opportunity to visit the Thessalonians once again, as he so longed to do. Secondly, Paul prays for their love to increase. Verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Paul has already given thanks for their labour prompted by love. Yet it seems that there's still room for growth. As I've strolled around the garden in this hot summer weather we've been having, I've been delighted to see that some of the shrubs I planted last year have survived the winter and are becoming established. Their roots have taken, they're getting bigger and producing flowers. Well, I'm very happy about that. Nonetheless, they're pretty small. And it's clear that they've still got a lot of growing to do. Paul's delighted with the love that's evident among the Thessalonians. He's really happy about what he's seen. Their faith has taken root and their love is growing. Yet he's aware that there's still room for further growth. And that's what he's praying for. And thirdly, he prays for their strengthening as they look forward to Christ's return. Verse 13. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Paul's praying that they will be ready for Christ's return. Perhaps some of the Thessalonians had been discouraged by the death of some of their number, and perhaps doubts had crept in about whether Christ would return or not. Paul will deal with both of those issues later in the letter. He wants to encourage them onwards in the Christian life. And his desire is that they will be found blameless and holy when that day comes. It's been very strange to watch TV and see football matches being played in empty stadiums because of the lockdown. And normally we're used to hearing the sound of supporters making a loud noise and urging their teams on. I wonder what effect it has on the players to be playing in front of empty seats. I imagine they miss the encouragement of having the fans alongside them. Well, Paul's praying here that God would encourage the Thessalonians onwards as they look forward to Christ's return. It's as though Paul's standing alongside them, saying, come on, keep going. Well, taking the whole prayer together, Paul wants the Thessalonians to grow into mature Christians who are applying their faith to every area of life, who are loving each other wholeheartedly, and who are persevering in godly living as they wait for Christ to return. His prayer is a model of how we can be praying for one another. Now, as we seek to encourage each other forward in the Christian life, the habit of praying for each other should be a top priority. It would certainly be encouraging, wouldn't it, to know that we are all praying for each other in this way. And we can do that whether we are close by or, like Paul, praying from a distance. So then, here's what love looks like between Christians. If we love each other, then we'll be concerned for each other's spiritual well-being, especially when we face trials and hardships. We'll be aware of the spiritual battle we're in, and seek to encourage each other with God's word and point each other to the joy that awaits us in heaven. If we love each other, we'll find great joy in meeting together and seeing each other's progress in the Christian life. We'll be encouraged to see that others are present and standing firm in Christ when we do. And we'll seek to be an encouragement to others in the same way. And if we love each other, we'll make it a priority to pray for each other, that we'll each grow into Christian maturity and persevere in living lives that are pleasing to God until the day when Jesus returns. Let's pray for each other now. Let's pray. Loving Father, please forgive us for the times when we think only of ourselves and value church only for what we can get out of it. Please teach us to love each other in the way we've been reading about this morning. Please fill us with a genuine concern for each other's spiritual well-being. Cause our love for each other to grow and overflow. And grant us a genuine commitment to praying for one another's growth in Christian maturity as we wait together for Jesus to return. We ask it in his name. Amen.